on November 1st, 1950, Blessed Pope Pius XII solemnly pronounced, declared, and defined that the Immaculate Mother of God and ever-Virgin Mary was assumed into heaven body and soul. This is a dogma of the Church and should be believed by all. But we want to be sure that while the assumption was not declared a dogma until 1950, we know that the Church always believed and taught for centuries that the Blessed Mother of God, the Theotokos, the God-bearer, was assumed into heaven at the end of her earthly life. Certainly we see dogmatically that in the year 602, the Emperor of the East declared for the sake of uniformity, that rather than allowing the churches to celebrate this day, any day they chose, that it would always be on the 15th of August to bring greater unity to the empire. But certainly we don't even want to think that it began then in 602, but rather this was a belief that the Church has had from the beginning. For it is the understanding that the assumption, when we understand the meaning of this, the assumption, we can see why. That the dogma of the assumption is both the culmination of what it means to be the Blessed Mother of God, and it also is the new beginning of what it means to be a Christian. Certainly we want to see that with the assumption, the promises of the Lord were fulfilled in the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as always, beyond any expectation. Her glorification in body and soul resulted from divine graciousness and gracefulness. That certainly, as we heard in the, well, we didn't hear it tonight, but as we know, that when the angel came to the Blessed Mother, she said, "Hail, full of grace." And the fullness of this grace, this vocation which belonged to the Blessed Mother, is found not only in her beginning in the Immaculate Conception, not only in her perfect motherhood and her perpetual virginity before, during, and after the birth of Christ, but comes to its completion in her perfect assumption, that we would consider that here is the body of the one in whom the Word was made flesh, the body of her whose Son came to redeem all human flesh. We could ask, how could then her flesh know the corruption of the grave? How could she, who totally escaped from the power of sin by the gracious gift of God, how could her body then know decay? How could her body, which had given flesh to the incarnate Son of God, which belonged, her body which belonged to the Son in the most perfect of ways, believing what He had instructed her and uniting itself to His mission so perfectly and so exclusively, how could that body be separated from Him in any way? And so we certainly see the great fittingness that God in His goodness, in His infinite goodness that far surpasses all that eyes could see or minds could imagine, brings the Blessed Mother's body out of the grave, just as He brought His own Son's body out of the grave, and brings it up into heaven, just as He brought the Son's body out of the grave, out of this earth, into heaven. And so we see that the Blessed Mother provides then for us the culmination of what it means to be a Christian, that we who have followed Christ to the utmost are destined to be united with Christ, not only in this life, not only in a death like His, but also in eternal glorification like Him. What other recompense could be imagined for Mary than this immediate and total participation of her life in the life of her risen Son? And so we certainly want to see that this dogma, this great gift of God in assuming Mary body and soul into heaven, is the personal culmination of all that He had promised her, of all the grace which He was working in her life. But is at the same time a new beginning. For Mary is now in eternal life. And this means that the joy and blessedness that comes from loving and beholding God face to face, the God who is light and life and love, belongs to her now, completely. We see that it also means that she has entered into the fullness of communion with all who love God, with all whom God loves. And certainly we know that our God loves everything he has made, creation being the outflow or the effect of his love. But though we want to think of the joy and the blessedness which is hers as she engages in that beatific vision, we don't want to think that in entering into heaven, she has entered into a period of doing nothing. But rather we want to see that like God, who is perfect action, so too Mary's life in heaven is one of a continuation of her service. That her life of service that she lived on earth has not come to an end, but rather has been brought to perfection. Brought to a universal dimension. As we would read in the Second Vatican Council's Dogmatic Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium, chapter 8, which is devoted to the Blessed Mother, we could read in there that the Church Fathers tell us, taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside her salvific duty. By her maternal love, she cares for the brethren of her Son who still journey on earth. And so we want to see that now Mary is in a position to exercise fully her motherhood in the order of grace. Certainly we think that at the foot of the cross, as Jesus was dying, she was given John the Apostle to be his mother. And in him she saw being the mother of the whole church. And so we could see her at Pentecost there in the upper room, mothering the 12 apostles. But we also want to see that mothering in the physical sense is only a sign of her mothering in the spiritual sense, that mothering which she wants to do for all of us. And so now, while she is body and soul in heaven, while she is participating in that beatific vision, while she is in her heart is enlarged by the infinite love of God, we see that her soul then also has that infinite love flowing through it so that she can share her love with each and every one of us in each and every moment that we need her. And so the Blessed Mother becomes the mother of the new world. And in an even deeper sense, Pope John Paul II points out in his encyclical Redemptoris Mater, she becomes the mother of the fullness of time. For John Paul II writes, the moment when, with the entrance of the eternal into time, that moment, time itself is redeemed, and being filled with the mystery of Christ becomes definitively salvation time. And so we see that our life is part of this fullness of time. Our journey through this rugged journey, this difficult journey of carrying our cross, is not one that is separate or alone, but rather is one in which we are preceded by the Blessed Mother, who has already trod this path, walking with Jesus to the foot of the cross. She has already advanced in the pilgrimage of faith, and she has already loyally persevered in her union with her Son at the foot of the cross and beyond to his resurrection. And so she who has gone before us now looks back on we who are currently journeying, and in the fullness of time, which is hers because she is with God in heaven in that eternal now, she is able to share his infinite love with each and every one of us. She is able to be our spiritual mothers. And so we can go to her with our problems. We can go to her and beg of her the infinite grace which we need, the grace to persevere as we walk through the valley, the grace to continue as we suffer, as we walk in the darkness. We know we have a mother who is in the infinite light. And so we beg of her to share that infinite light with all of us. John Paul II writes that she is the morning star, and she precedes us and reminds us that there is safe conduct for pilgrim humanity, because above all, where she goes, we will see the glorious rising of the Son of Justice. My brothers and sisters, here we are at the Church of Our Lady of Hope. And so we want to see that Mary is our hope. She, a perfect human being, has gone before us, laboring intensely in the vineyard of her Son. She now shares with him in the glory which is promised to each and every one of us. Let us hold fast to her who is our hope, trusting that what God has given so beautifully to her, He will also give just as extraordinarily to each and every one of us. She is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let us always rejoice to come and celebrate what God has done to her. For truly, as she said in her Magnificat, the Almighty has done great things, and holy is his name. But he has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. God is continuously looking upon us, his children. Let us rejoice to receive the grace of God most abundantly through the arms of our Blessed Mother.